Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I am your host, Brian Rowan, with Logan Everett and Coach Ward, episode 90. Welcome to the show, guys.
Dude, I'm pumped to be here. Episode 90. When was episode 89? It was like months ago.
I forgot what we were on. We haven't done one.
Probably years ago. It's been we've taken a little break. But I've told Logan, I was like, I haven't been this excited for an episode than like the first couple. This is a long time coming. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, man. It's been a while, so I'm sure we have quite a bit to catch up on. It's exciting times around West Point. All West Point people will know what the March Back is. March Back was this morning, so all of our freshmen made their way back to campus. They all crushed it. And tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. is our first team meeting. So it's the first time this year that we have the entire roster all in the same room, the same spot at the same time. So a lot to be excited about. But a lot's happened. So I don't know. There might be a lot to recap and a lot to go over. We might just be talking about this year coming up. I don't know. But I'm pumped to be back here with you guys.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things we have to hit first. The first thing being our boy Brian getting engaged.
Let's go.
Huge congrats.
Appreciate it, guys.
So that's the real reason we haven't had episodes.
He's been a little busy.
B-Row's life just got a little bit busier, but congrats, B-Row. We're super happy for you.
Appreciate that. It was funny. I was telling my fiance about the episode and some of the like topics and like how the cadets were doing March Back today. I was explaining to her.
And she's like, boring.
Well, no, she thought she was like, that sounds like the most miserable. Like they get up in the middle of the night and march back. And I was like trying to explain to her that like you're in such a different zone when you're at Beast that like you're so excited for that march back as a cadet to just get to get back.
I'm not sure what time they stepped off this morning and got started, but I woke up, I don't know, like 6 a.m. ish this morning, and it's pouring rain. Like pouring. Yeah. And it was already wet like outside. So it was like it had been raining for a while. So they got up.
Little while. I just love to see the R Day videos where there's the pouring rain. It's like it's always good for a good chuckle where you're just like, God, it could have been me. But
hey, did you see any of the posts from the Academy on like they had the combatants tournament out there at
I saw a couple of them, yes.
Well, everyone should a wrestler won the combatants out there. So
perfect.
Yeah, perfect, as it should be. So Lucas Stoddard, the heavyweight, probably the biggest one out there. football leaves Beast a little bit early to get into like their fall training camp. So Stoddard had to be the biggest person out there by far. Yeah.
And the only one that happened to know what he was doing too.
He knows a little bit about what he's doing. He's like 6'3", 260. So, yeah.
That's great.
He was the number one seed going in. He backed it up.
This was a question I had. Is the kid with the hair, was he one of ours?
Oh,
like
the leopard print hair
that was all over the social pages.
Okay, yeah. So he's at prep school, so I can't really talk about him that much, or at all, I guess. But but I saw the same post of the kid with cauliflower ear and
I was like, he's got to be a wrestler.
And I can say that I'll be not surprised at all if he's on our roster next year. He's a member of the West Point Wrestling Club and Regional Training Center. How's that?
That counts for something.
Yeah.
So I don't. Last time we talked was probably March or April.
Yeah, it was like end of March. Recapping NCAAs and kind of looking ahead at the spring and plan ahead. So I know a lot's changed. I mean, we could probably start from there. I know you had some coaching changes, RTC changes, updates. You know, recently. So I guess if you get us up to speed on kind of the summer for the cadets and the staff and club and go from there.
Okay, I'll recap the spring and summer with the team pretty quickly. We trained really hard in the spring. I thought it was an awesome spring. We had a pretty good summer where we had two different training camps. We had one training camp down in Raleigh, North Carolina, which was really good for our guys. We had another training camp just last week here at West Point with the rising sophomore class. So we did find ways to get some pretty solid training in over the summer, the spring and the summer. But yeah, so, I mean, in addition to welcoming, I think it's 15 new freshmen into the team today, we had a couple coaching staff changes as well. So we lost the coach Parker in the spring. I mean, he didn't make it here a year. So just, I think it was not long after the NCAA tournament, he was out of here. And with that, the NCAA got rid of the volunteer assistant coach label. So you were only ever allowed to have a couple full-time assistant coaches, and then you can have a volunteer coach, which your volunteer coach is paid for through the club, through charity, through some, you know, benefactor putting money in his pocket, whatever, but the school couldn't pay him. Well, the NCAA got rid of that label. So we're able to actually add our volunteer as a full-time coach now. So it made absolute perfect sense to elevate, promote Jimmy Overheiser into a full-time assistant coach, because we're able to do that. We're really fortunate. Our endowment's big enough that we can absorb another salary, and we can pay for his salary through using our endowment and through the athletic department. So Jimmy Overheiser is a full-time assistant coach, which means he'll be on the road coming to tournaments and living rooms near you like all fall. He's a relentless recruiter. He's great at it. He loves doing it. So he'll be out on the road recruiting here really soon. But then we still had one other coaching position to fill. And matter of fact, our guy that just filled that position just moved here, got to West Point last night. We've known he's going to be the new assistant coach for a while, but he was just able to move. He's been at Cal Bakersfield for the last 3 years. He's here now. Today was his first official day starting at West Point. Coach Steve Blyce spent the last 3 years at Cal Bakersfield, was at Old Dominion for a year before that. Had his collegiate wrestling career at Minnesota. One heck of a career there. So like a ferocious, really intense, high-energy competitor, and he's the same way as a coach. So we just welcomed him to West Point literally today. It was his first day on the job. So, I mean, with that, with promoting Jimmy, bringing Steve on board, we're fully staffed out now. And not just fully staffed within our coaching ranks, but we added two RTC athletes as well. So we're pumped about that. We've got a lightweight that's coming up here from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he had his career, Fabian Gutierrez. So Fabian will be here a week from today. And Vel Ray Baker, our first women's competitor, has signed with the West Point Wrestling Club as well. So she'll be moving here shortly. Both Fabian and Vel will be focused on their own competition careers. So they'll be training with and alongside our guys and our team and getting ready to compete. So they're going to make a run at the senior circuit. So we're pumped to have them on board too. So, I mean, a very busy summer as far as hiring and filling positions. But, I mean, as it always is, like if you work hard enough and you believe it's going to work out, it usually does, and we couldn't have done it any better. You know, we absolutely rocked it and could not be more pumped about this together now.
Yeah, I guess I want to ask, I figured the question that most people probably would have after this, you know, with the addition of the first woman's member of the RTC, like is there plans for development on the woman's side, or is that just, you know, are we going to get her in where, you know, we can get her partners, or are we looking to expand?
Well, I guess we're kind of leading the way there, like the tip of the spear. There's no formal plans to add another sport at all. So I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to lead anybody to think that. But there are opportunities maybe down the road to add as like a hobby club at the academy, and then maybe a competitive club team that receives offers and gets to travel and compete. And then maybe, you know, see how things work out eventually, you know, who knows? I think that women's wrestling belongs at West Point. I think it would be a slam dunk or a home run or a headlock or whatever you want to call it. Like, in so many different ways, it just fits, you know. It's like bringing in strong warrior women into the academy. There could be no downside to that. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously more complex and complicated than that. But, no, Vel's leading the way. She's like, yeah, I want to come there and train. She's had a relationship with Coach Green and his family for a long time. So he coached her and coached her brother. And she's really close with Scott and Jen. It just made sense. She came here and worked camp with us this summer and did an awesome job. We all really liked her. Super responsible, level-headed, great technician. All the campers loved her. So she wants to make a run, and it just made sense. So let's add her here. And she'll be training here, and she may train some other places as well, but this is West Point America will be home base for her.
Yeah, we'll have to try to work on getting some more of the assistants on a little bit more this year too, just because I know we kind of didn't reach out to them probably as much as we should have last year. It'll be a good thing to do this year. It's always a little bit different perspective.
Yeah.
So they can tell us like how crazy you are really is what we need.
Yeah. Let me know before you do it. I'll make sure I write the script for them and they can make me sound like a
great bring boss them coffee for like every morning for a week beforehand.
Yeah.
It's always interesting hearing from them, like, especially when they're like there for like a couple months and like, they don't know much about West Point and they're like, they're just like very open and candid about how different and like versus the expectations. It's a little humorous. And I'm curious for the RTC athletes, because I'm glad you said she's like a responsible person. You know, I feel like if you're an RTC athlete at West Point, you're kind of in your own world, you know, because cadets are so busy. You guys are busy where like you have to be, nobody's going to be micromanaging you as an RTC athlete as much as probably some other schools.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. But I mean, that's important to me is like, I don't want to turn this into like a program pitch, but it's important that we get people with the right character here too. You know, like just because you can wrestle and you want to keep wrestling doesn't mean that we want you around our team and want you to be an influence around our team. So they have to have the right fiber. They got to be the right people. They have to have the same values that we think are really important around our program. And everybody that we brought in this year is, you know, they fit the bill and they fit exactly the things that I thought we were looking for when we started out on the coaching search and bringing people into the huddle. So, yeah, I'm pumped. And if you wanted somebody new, like I said, I mean, Steve just moved to West Point last night or yesterday. Like, we helped him move in yesterday. So if you want somebody with a brand new, fresh perspective, that's your guy for sure. He's been here 24 hours now.
Is he living on post? Or is he close by?
Yeah, he's close by. I'm 20 minutes or so. I mean, everything's 20 minutes from West Point. You know, like any direction, anywhere you want to go is 20 minutes. It doesn't matter. You can name it. It's 20 minutes away. It's like, unless if it's not 2 minutes away, it's 20 minutes away. But yeah, he got a really sweet spot, and it's right across from a country club, like literally right across the street. And so I think we're going to have to talk him into joining the country club so he can invite us up there to play golf with him. But he doesn't play golf yet, so we're going to have to work on that.
Get him on the simulator that you have in the basement.
Right on. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Figured it'd be a good idea. I was going to ask we didn't really cover, I don't think, we haven't covered any of the freestyle stuff that happened this summer. So what did we compete in? We'll start with that. What did we compete in? And how many, you know, guys went to what?
Good question. It was 13-ish or so that went to Vegas. We had a couple that competed in Greco, most of them all in freestyle. So I think it was all U-20s. We didn't have anybody in the open. And then we sent maybe like the same number of guys to U-23s. And that one, we told everyone, if you're going, you're wrestling both styles. Like, there's no disadvantage to wrestling Greco and freestyle, just learning how to compete.
Experience.
And it's experience, like, figuring out how to win a match. Like, probably everybody that went there. I mean, Tom Gobby made the finals and was this freaking close to winning the whole thing. And it's maybe his first Greco tournament since who knows when. But he did a fantastic job, man. He just looked like an animal. It like fit him. He's super physical and he's tough. And it ends up, he has a really good gut wrench too. And I don't think anybody knew that, but he's strong as shit, man. Like he wraps his arms around and just starts squeezing and people are rolling. But I mean, we had honestly no expectations for the guys like, oh, they're going to go out there and they're going to win freestyle we didn't feel like any of them were really ready to make a world team in freestyle either. So we were like, we're not saving you to make a world team in freestyle. You need to learn how to compete and win under not ideal situations. So you wrestle in both styles. And they did. I think it was a good experience and we'll find out, you know, I mean, if that led to growth, we'll find out, you know, this fall when we start competing again. But, I think that's what we did. Other than the training camps, those were the two competitions we went to.
And how were the camps? I know that it sounded like the staff for some of the camps changed a little bit. Seemed like Jack Lucy was back for another camp.
Captain Jack Lucy can't stay away. He's like, yeah, him. So Captain Jack and Aaron Butler.
Butts is still back too.
Well, he goes by Aaron mostly.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, Butts is back. For those out there, which is everybody that doesn't know, so I coached Aaron Butler at Ouachita Baptist, you know, so that was what, 14 years ago. He was like one of my first recruits there. He's been coming up here and helping me with camps here at West Point for the past 10 years. So, yeah, he's coming back, or he was back. And yeah, we brought in some others because we needed – camps blew up this year. What did we have? We had like 200 and 230 or 240, something like that, for Ranger Camp. I mean, it was enormous. And then another 160-ish, 150 for the competition camp. So we needed to bring in some staff. And, man, I'm glad we had them all because we had a squad here. Oh, Jenna Burker was here. What freaking awesome clinician and motivational speaker she was. So it was, yeah, we had good camps. They blew up, they grew, and hopefully we can keep that going because I think everybody had a good experience.
She trying to get the PCS up to West Point or what?
Hey, listen, like she met with some people around here talking about, you know, what the future might hold, you know, and her career in the big Army. She's committed to it. She loves the Army and spoke very highly of her experiences. But who knows what the future holds. I know that a couple people here, you know, think that it makes perfect sense to have her at West Point because she's the role model that we want for mm-hmm. people here. So I wouldn't rule it out sometime in the future.
Is she still is she competing for another cycle or like?
No, I think she's done. She might, I'm not sure. She might have said she's going to make a run. I know she was dealing with some injuries there for a while, but I mean, if she does, we'll be her biggest fans cheering her on. If she decides to hang it up, then she had a hell of a career. So good for her.
Yeah. I think during the camps, you guys had the storms. Yeah.
All right, we are back. These storms are not going to stop us tonight. We're going to push through.
So the irony of losing the feed because of a storm, we were just talking about the storm that was at West Point about a month ago. Here's the recap. Nobody needs to know all this. They can Google it and look at the pictures if they want. It got crazy here for an afternoon. We got like 10 inches of rain in a day, which is what we usually get over the course of the entire summer. It was a bad deal. I don't mean to make light of it. I mean, it was a bad deal and some people lost a lot of property and, yeah, we're on the other side of it now. We're back to operating normally and into the school year. So, moving on, more wrestling talk because I know people out there that do not like the small talk, B-Row, and, you need to talk more wrestling. You need to hit me with the hard hitting questions.
Well, I was mainly concerned was it going to impact the roads that these cadets are going to run on? To get in shape. That was my main
obviously
concern.
Yeah, obviously that was it. And the answer to that is yes. They had to take a different route on the march back today, just a little bit. But they find a way to get it in. It's not going to stop
just
them.
Short.
Yeah, it ain't going to stop them.
If it ain't raining, we ain't training. That's what they said, right?
Yeah, a bunch of freaking soldiers out there.
Over the summer, there's also been some drastic rule changes to the NCAA.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear your perspectives on it. I feel like we've put our little cap on. Everybody's done it and been like, this rule should be this and this rule should be that. And at the end of the day, I always thought everybody has all these grand ideas and nothing ever really changes. Well, this year it did.
Well, some stuff changed. No, it's not exactly the way I would have gone about trying to solve some of the issues, but you're never going to get everything that you want. Most people agree that there were some issues. The product wasn't optimal and wasn't what we need to see. And so some things changed. Personally, I've never, like, I don't know how many wrestling people look at the scoring system critically and ever ask themselves why. I mean, I don't know the history of it, but I do know that it doesn't make great sense to me. I've never thought the 2-1 escape, takedown escape ratio, I've never thought that made sense. And so now a 3-point takedown, this is the symbol I'm told, a 3-point takedown, you know, kind of brings that what I think is probably a better balance, but it is good. I mean, there will be some, you know, secondary effects too. And like some things that we don't expect because now, you know, those matches that you win 3-2 and a stall call ties it up. Well, now you're up, you know, 4-2 and a stall call doesn't tie it up anymore. So maybe you see some people shut down at the end of matches. There will be something that we don't expect there, I'm sure. The biggest rule change, I think, well, two of them are no-brainers that are definitely going to help. One, they got rid of that idiotic, you know, hand-swipe takedown rule where you didn't really have to have control over somebody in just one very specific position. They got rid of that, so you have to have control beyond reaction time for every takedown. Everybody wanted to get rid of that because it just led to way too much confusion. And now the language has changed where the top wrestler is mandated to work to turn and pin an opponent instead of just being mandated to break somebody down. So that should create more action on the mat. I think with those changes right there, I mean, that's pretty impactful and should lead to some more action there with that thing on top, you know, the renewed emphasis on turning somebody on top. 3-point takedown, that's a big one. I mean, what else? What else can we look at and think that that's a really impactful rule change?
Was there some weigh-in changes or were that just proposed?
Yeah,
because the list of proposed was not actually everything that got implemented. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know, you know, the riding time did not get changed. That was... you had to turn somebody to get riding time. Did not pass. Probably. Did it pass? Is it now a 2-hour weigh-in for everything?
I think it's dual meets. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, standardized weigh-ins across the board for competition. So, whatever. Honestly, that does make a pretty big difference for a few wrestlers every dual meet. So that's probably a pretty big change if, you know, that passed. But other than that, I think everything was kind of, what else? I mean, what else was controversial? Now you can get 3 points of near fall. So 2 seconds, 2 points, 3 seconds, 3 points, 4 seconds or four counts is 4 points. So another option, might see some more points on the board because of that. So here's the thing. I think the only rule change that's actually going to create more action is the change they've made to referee's position. You have to work to turn. That will create more action. The other rules are just going to put more points on the board, not necessarily create action in the matches. But by the way, I don't think anybody really believes that it's going to create more action. Like,
yeah,
sometimes you have to say things to get things done. There's some politics to it. You have to create an argument that maybe you don't even believe in. I don't think anybody truly believes a 3-point takedown is going to lead to more action. It's going to lead to, you know, more points for a takedown. Like, as obvious as that sounds, I think that's what it's going to lead to.
I mean, my theory was that it's really not going to change much at all. I mean, I would still argue that, you know, 99% of the time, the better wrestler is still going to win a match, whether that's, you know, who would have won with the old rule set probably will still win with this one. I mean, maybe there's a onesie and twosie here and there, but I still don't think it's going to change that much.
Yeah, I would agree
with you. It's still wrestling.
It's still wrestling, and the change where if you're the top wrestler now, you have to work to turn somebody. That is going to force action to happen. And you know what? People that are good, like, good mat wrestling is fun to watch. But to me, good mat wrestling is breaking somebody down and working to turn them. And when you're working to turn, you either get back points or people get escapes and reverses. Like, action happens. Just mandating that somebody tries to hold somebody else down, yeah, it's really hard to do, and it takes a lot of skill to do it. It's also like watching paint dry. You know, it's like incredibly boring to watch. And I'm a wrestling guy, and I sit in the corner and watch it, and I'm like, this is terrible. You know, even in matches where we're doing it, it's like it's not fun to watch. So that's a good change.
There's a 5-second rule on the Penn State ride now too, or the ankle hooking.
Oh, okay.
That one passed as well.
Okay. Yeah, that'll whatever. Having to work to a turn solves everything else.
Yeah.
I don't think you needed any more changes on mat wrestling than that.
So, I'd be curious.
I'm
curious amongst, like, you know, coaches talk, you know, I see a lot more negative coaches' opinions on the 3-point takedown than positive. And you seem fairly, you know, I'd say on the more positive side, but not really, hey, it doesn't matter. When you're talking to your colleagues and everyone else, like, does it seem like it's most people are in that same boat, or is it kind of like mostly negative?
I mean, okay. So think about this, like, how many people take to Twitter to say good job, or take to Twitter to say, man, I really like that. You know, I mean, it's human nature. People don't like openly give credit to other people. They openly complain about what other people do. So maybe that's why you hear some negativity. I mean, most of the people I talk to are like, yeah, it's a good change and not a huge deal, but a positive change, and we roll with it. I mean, there's people that don't like it, but I think most people are, you have to be willing to give change a chance. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just, you can't stick with the same thing. If it's not optimal, I mean, give something else a chance. And if it doesn't work out, then go back to it. You know, like, I don't see any net negative in trying this. You know, it's gonna lead to a better product one way or the other.
Yeah. And there's no hurt in trying something, like you're saying. It's like, it only improves the whole system in the long run. But I mean, great. It's like both guys are dealing with the same rule. So it's not like, you know, one guy has a big advantage over another guy just based on the rule being the same for both guys. It's like, I mean, I think as long as you continue with the model of adapting, it's like still fair. Like, I don't.
So you remember when freestyle went to the terrible rules where they would reach in the bag and draw out of
the blind draw?
Yeah. So that was terrible. This is not that. It's the same exact sport.
Right.
We're just giving an extra point for a takedown, which people like to see takedowns. So why not?
Do you think that I've seen some discussion of the near fall 2, 3, 4 points leading to unnecessary reviews, you know, to
push? No, I don't see it. I had this conversation with Colonel Gist and Messett today. I'm like, how? Why? Why is that going to lead to more challenges? Because right now you still have to count between 1 and 2 to get a point. Like, to get 2 points, you have to count between 3 and 4 to get an extra set. Like, why does adding another count, why is that going to increase challenges? I hear people say it, and I understand what they're saying, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I
think that rule was only for more challenges. I feel like that rule was only for viewer understanding.
Yeah.
It seemingly makes more sense when it's like, yeah, 2 is 2 points, 3 is 3 points, 4 is 4 points. Like, very easy to understand. Sense.
So I don't know, Brian, why do you think it's going to lead to more challenges?
I've seen people talk about it. So I wanted to get, so if you're, let's say refs slow to get in the position or slower than maybe the opposing coach thinks, and he gives 3 near fall, but they're like, wait, he was in criteria for, you know, 4 seconds, you know, some refs count near fall 1, 2, 3, 4, others count it 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, it's not a set standard across the board as far as swipes and counting. So I'd be curious if now there's a big difference between a 2 count and a 4 count, a whole second, as opposed to a 3 and a 4. I thought, you know, it just may lead, and maybe not in like a random dual meet, but as you get closer to the conferences and nationals, like when the stakes are maybe considered a little bit higher, it may lead to more reviews.
I just don't see it. Like I said, I understand what people are saying, but it doesn't. Why? I mean, if you thought the ref got to 4 last year, like, you're going to challenge more this year. You're not going to be happy with your 3 points. You're going to want the one other point. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. So, but maybe I'll get proved wrong. I don't know. But I don't see that leading to more challenges. No.
I just think in a scenario where you are down by 3 points and you turn a guy and you only get, you know, they give you a 3 count or a 2 count, or you get a 4 count, I could see the opposing coach or you being, hey, we should use our challenge here, because if not, it's tied. If we win this, we're winning this match right now on top.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I guess counterpoint, I would say, like, if you're in that situation, you're going to throw your challenge break no matter what. You're going to find something to challenge. We've all done it. You're like, it's the last match. I got one more challenge. You know, there's probably no way they're changing this call, but screw it. I'm throwing the brick. So I don't know. But time will tell. We'll see. Moving on. What's next? We can't talk about near fall change.
This is my specific question, but do you – with the rest of the coaches, keep a running tally of challenge success rates?
Scott Green does, for sure. Does he? No, I can tell you my challenge success rate. It's got to be like single digits. Like, it's not good. And sometimes games, you know you're not going to win it. I mean, there's some strategy to it. But listen, there's been plenty of times I've gone back and watched the film and been like, that ref missed the call. Like, you go back and watch the film and you're like, I knew it. I saw it there in live action, and they went back and watched it on video and they still missed it. And then I get back to the office on Monday and I watch it and I'm like, there it is. That's what they missed. So I'll tell you this, I'm right more than the stats show.
Of course.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm right more than you think.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guarantee you, Scott Green knows his challenge success rate. And I'm surprised he hasn't tweeted about it lately, but the season's coming up. So, yeah.
I think that's it from the rules perspective. I was hoping it was going to get a little bit more heated.
Well, you're getting too smart, Biro. You're starting to agree with me and Logan a little bit too much. So I mean, you're maturing, you're getting smarter, you're getting a little bit wiser. And if you would disagree with us a little bit more, we could prove you wrong. But you're too smart for that.
So next topic.
It's all about what I read on Twitter was.
What? That's right.
I said it's all what I read on Twitter was.
I listen to FRL and you hear their topics, and you know, there's discussion around rules, and it's not like I'm reading the comments on Twitter and seeing all this negative. I'm, you know, listening what they say, analyzing, thinking it. Okay. And I want to hear your opinions.
Gotcha.
That's all.
What was next on the topics? I know we had a good running list, but I can't pull it up or I would have.
Looking at the year ahead. I mean, we obviously don't have time to get all into it completely, but, where are we at on scheduling for the season? You know, when can we expect to have that finalized, to know what lies ahead?
So schedule for the season is done. It's just a matter of like deconflicting some facilities. Like, we may have to move one date from a Saturday to a Sunday based on basketball schedule. But it's done. So we're going to kick off the season November 1st. So this is what's important to know. We're starting the season November 1st at Fort Liberty, formerly Fort Bragg. Us and Campbell starting the Division I wrestling season. So we're wrestling there on the base on November 1st. The time, I don't know, like 2, 3 p.m. Yeah, yeah. We're starting like the first day that you can compete. We're doing it. And it's in like 2 or 3 p.m. or something like that. I'll have to go back and check. But it's going to be sick, man. The presentation is awesome. And obviously it's a place that if they're going to be dual meets there, we belong in it. You know, this whole thing started like they wrestled a dual meet last year, and a couple people may have mentioned or tweeted at Campbell and Coach Sintez, like, hey, you know, where's West Point? Army needs to be there at Army. And let me tell you, like, he was all about it. He was like, yeah, you're right. Army needs to be here at an Army base. And we said, all right, let's figure out a way to make it happen. And that was it. Done deal. Like, okay, let's figure out a way to make it happen. We made it happen. So we're starting there. So that's going to be pretty sick. We do have some home dates set. I think it's November 16th. Is that Thursday night? November 16th. NC State is coming to West Point. Crystal Arena, I think 7 p.m. 3 or 4 days later, whatever it is, on that Sunday, we're hosting the Black Knight Invite again. So the Black Knight Invite, a banger of a lineup. Teams that have committed to the tournament so far. We've got Rutgers, Penn State, Michigan State, Northern Colorado, Garner Webb, Brown, Bloomsburg, Binghamton, I think, Lock Haven. So, like, a really good mix of teams from different conferences, another banger of a tournament. And we're going to be on the road. Here's one difference that our fans that know our schedule from the past few years are going to see. We're competing in a lot more open tournaments and tournament-style events in the first semester. So we're going back to Southern Illinois Edwardsville, where we went maybe like 4 or 5 years ago for their tournament. We are going to hit the Cleveland State Open. So that, I think it's the second weekend in December. We're not doing a dual meet. We're going to another open tournament. the winter break schedule is still actually not exactly set on what we're going to do, and it may not be the same for everybody on the team. We may have some wrestlers go to one of the, you know, to like Soldier Salute or Midlands or Scuffle. We might wait, depending on how the season's going, to have guys not compete again until Franklin and Marshall open, which is like January 5th or 6th. So we're doing things. We're taking a little bit of a different approach to scheduling this year. But for now, you know, for the sake of getting out there and making our fans aware, November 1st at Fort Liberty, it's going to be sick.
That's sweet.
Sweet. And Campbell, like, not to get too far ahead, but Campbell's got a really – I think they return all 10 of their starters.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, like anytime you can bring back, you know, 5 or 6 starters, you got a lot of experience to rely on, especially early in the year. And they're bringing back all 10. And so, I mean, we maybe our schedule doesn't have some of the names that it's had in the past, but
While Kevin's regrouping here, maybe I should recap Mawa's a little bit.
I've been waiting for just a split gap. That was just a split second to cover.
Kevin went down the wrong pipe. Kevin's getting a drink of water right now.
All right, so let's start with the first round match.
No, I'm not talking. I'm not getting into Mawa's for real. That was just to get a laugh out of you.
I tell you, you did call me on the way home, though, to give me the full recap, which I did appreciate because I was dying to know. I even got a few videos, which was nice. Not being able to be there, it was very nice to
the Simpson families were actually watching all the matches.
The way you described to me that everyone in the gym was circled around your mat.
All right, Kevin, you back?
Yeah, I actually got a little bit sicker hearing you talk about Mawas. So
I did throw up a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I was better, and then I heard Brian talk about his wrestling career, and then I really got sick. What I was trying to say, I have no idea what happened, but what I was trying to say was, even though the schedule doesn't have like the big names that it's had in the past, it's not going to be any easier. Like, we're going to take on the teams that we've got pretty stacked, and it's going to be a pretty major challenge, because if you look at the team that we're coming back, I mean, we only have 3 returning qualifiers. That's not a lot. And so it'll be a pretty big challenge for us. That's what we want. We're looking forward to it.
I can tell. I feel like you're still hurting a little bit.
No, I'm
not fully recovered. Not fully recovered.
I'm trying to push through it. We're going to see how good B-Row's editing skills are.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, well, how he splices in the other.
Yeah.
So, going back to, you know, kind of the march back for the rest of the police coming in, is everybody, are all 15 recruits, everybody's still intact? Like, nobody left Beast early, anything like that?
Nope. We're batting 1,000. Everybody made it. Like, there was a normal, like, bumps and bruises that come along with it. Nothing major. Everybody made it. Honestly, I didn't see any of them today because you know how it is. They come back from the march back. They've got to, like,
they get pulled everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. And they got to turn in their gear, and they're supposed to do, like, they got so many issue points or gear turn in points they have to go to. So I didn't see any of our freshmen today at all. I won't see them until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, but I mean, of course, I've been seeing them throughout Beast a couple times a week for mass athletics, you know, where they come up to the wrestling room and work out. And they've all looked good. Like, they smile a lot. Good spirits. Even the direct admit kids, you know, which are usually a little bit more reserved and a little bit more uptight during Beast. They're smiling, they're loose. Looks like they're going to be a really fun group to work with. So, and we address, like, from a wrestling standpoint, we address some major needs that we had. Like, now we have, I think, 6 heavyweights on the team. That's a big deal. You know, now, that's big. And guys that we brought in that can be major, you know, impact guys right out of the gate with Braden Basile. I think Basile can be an impact guy right away just with his attitude and obviously his ability, but he loves to compete. We love that. Gunnar Filipowicz had a great prep school year, and that addresses, you know, an area that we need. You know, we haven't had a qualifier at 65, so we got to do better there. He could be a 65 pounder. He may be 74. You know, so whatever shakes out, you know, but Gunner, I think coming from prep school, you look at Braden's season, Gunner's season, and you at Luke Stoddard at heavyweight, you know, you're like, oh, that's a good prospect there. Where he really doesn't know how to wrestle yet. He's got a really big body, pretty athletic for his size. He's big, he's strong. And he wrestled, he was a state champ, I think, at 195 his senior year of high school, and I weighs 260. Mm-hmm. So that's wow. A good deal. Yeah, and his attitude is like, so he wanted to come to West Point so bad. He was like, I'll wrestle whatever weight class you want. I'll get big. And we're like, well, we need you at heavyweight. And he's like, I'm doing it. And then he showed up last year weighing like 230 or 240, and now he's 260. So he looks freaking fantastic. So with that attitude, but listen, you know, there's six others that I didn't mention that are coming from the prep school right now. They're going to be able, like, they can step in and do their thing too, you know, from, I'm not going to name all of them because I don't want to bore everybody, but like, well, screw it, I can name them. You know, it's our show, right? So Noah Tondra is going to come in and help at 25. Jaime Rivera, 49 or 57, wherever he decides to go. Micah Hanau, 57 or 65. Oscar Aranda, maybe the best athlete of the whole bunch at 157. Like, he can do it. Gage Cook at heavyweight, you know, like, you don't win Fargo by accident, you know, and so he's super dangerous. Point is, like, we've got a whole squad of guys that can come in and help out. Just highlighting a few is maybe not fair to the rest, but they did have the best seasons last year. So, I mean, that's part of sports. But, yeah, the point is, this freshman class, it kind of fills some needs and gives us some depth where we need it and some more impact guys where we need it right now. And by the way, depth doesn't mean these guys are relegated to a role to come in and support. It means we have more people at a weight class that we didn't have enough people at. And they can absolutely come in and be the starter. So, yeah, just ready to get to work with them.
Yeah, it's always good to just, I mean, at least for practice partners, like, I mean, one year we had one 133-pounder. It was like, it's just sometimes you know, have one or two injuries, a couple guys change weights, all of a sudden you have one guy in a weight class. It's like, gets tough just to
deal with that. So, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's never a bad thing. I don't know if I have anything else. I don't think I have any good questions.
Yeah, we didn't, like, you know, we didn't tease this one out there and take listener questions this time. And honestly, we haven't been on the air, so there's, like, maybe people maybe they forgot about us, B-Ro. You know,
I wanted to save the listeners questions for next time. I knew we had a lot of topics, and I thought we were going to talk about the rule changes for at least 30 minutes.
Here's something we didn't talk about. All right, so this is our shameless plug. September 23rd, our golf outing here at West Point. So the West Point Wrestling Club golf outing, September 23rd. Huge benefit to our program. It is the reason that we're able to bring in a couple RTC athletes this year. And so for whatever way that people can support, if you want to come, westpointwrestlingclub.org, sign up, come play, be a sponsor for us. You can sponsor anywhere from like 250 to 2000 bucks, you know, whatever, you know, fits your desires to give and support our program. It's a huge benefit to us. So that needs to be known. That needs to be put out there. And then, you know, maybe our next episode, we can dive into more details about, you know, strictly the wrestling team, like run through the lineup, run through the new guys on the team and talk the X's and O's of what we're looking to do and how we're going to train this year and how we're going to get ready to compete and win.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. I think are you gonna be on the road anytime soon?
Yeah, so for me, I think my next road trip is in about a month. I'm gonna go down to Atlanta for Elite Eight duels and then kind of make my way around the circuit down there, seeing some kids in Georgia, Tennessee. Can't mention people by name, but you know, the Southeast is putting out really quality wrestlers. Quite a bit. So I'm getting out there. Overheiser was headed out west. Coach Green's up here in the Northeast, and we're trying to cover the country right now and, you know, get in front of the best kids in the country. And that's part of it. So, yeah, we're going to be on the road. We've got some massive recruiting weekend visits coming up as well. So, yeah, things go from like zero to 100 pretty quick. You know, like, we don't do a lot of recruit visits over the summer, but then we get into – pretty much, I mean, we have one coming in a couple of days, and then 2 weeks after that, maybe 7 or 8 kids, like it gets busy recruiting pretty fast.
Yeah, I was thinking on the recruiting front, just because I didn't talk to you last, but this is not the latest time I've talked Army Wrestling. We did talk to some of the parents, but a reminder to some of the parents, if you ever want to reach out to us, feel free either through this network or feel free to reach out to some of the contacts that we put out directly in those. And if you weren't a part of that and you want to get in more information, and I don't know what you can say for recruit prospects or whatever, but you know, there's a long network of people that would be willing to talk to you about, you know, what the process is like and what, you know, a career after West Point looks like too, if you have any additional questions that you may not get answered on a visit or whatnot. So I don't know what you are allowed to speak about in terms of that stuff, but I think there's a ton of people here that can provide answers to families or parents or whoever.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things we've done, is be able to connect recruits with alum and graduates. And you guys, I heard nothing but awesome things about, you know, the chat you guys had with the current parents to let them know what to expect, you know, when their kids graduate. So that was cool. We'll take you up on that. I think, we'll get busy recruiting, and we use every angle we can to get the best.
Brian, the last thing I wanted to hit on was a congrats to B-Hall alumni Chandler Smith for 7th place at the CrossFit Games. Pretty big deal. Continues to climb, gets better every year, and it's a ton of work. If you look at what he does every day, I think he's working out like 4 or 5 times a day for a year straight training up for this. So it's a pretty big feat, and a lot of work goes into it. So we'd be, you know, foolish if we didn't at least recognize.
Yeah, that's a good plug right there. Just when you think somebody can't get more jacked, he takes it up another level and just gets even more jacked.
Yeah. Is it unfreaking real or what?
It's wild. But I was watching over the weekend, I was just like, I couldn't. When these events are just getting out of, they're getting so ridiculous of what they're expecting, and they all just do it, and it's just normal life.
The most I love about watching Chandler, like, I mean, being the 7th fittest person on planet Earth is pretty impressive. But what I love about him the most is, like, it looks like he's having the time of his life when he's out there competing. Like, you know, those events have to suck so bad, but he's like having so much fun. I love it. He's got so much joy in what he's doing. It's like, it's awesome to watch.
Do you see, he put a video out, or him and Puma put a video out like a couple days before the game started of like a day in the life. It was pretty funny. It was like,
yeah, he's a clown. Fun. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I hate my life. And then it's like, oh, at the end of the workout, it's like, oh, I love this. I can't wait to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the 5K times on there, like, people were running like 16 minute 5Ks, but then these are the same guys that are, you know, power cleaning 350 and doing whatever. It's just like, how the hell does this happen?
Yeah, is it, yeah, they do it. I don't know. We don't do it. We wrestle. So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, awesome chatting with you guys again. I think, you know, so if our fans are tuned back in again and you're listening, be prepared, like, give some feedback, shoot off some other some questions, things you want us to cover next show. We'll talk more about the specifics of our team, what it's going to look like, maybe even, you know, like a lineup projection. We're definitely going to have some weight class changes this year for some individuals that may end up being a big deal. It may just be, that's kind of part of it. Kids grow. But there could be a lot to talk about, you know, just from the team standpoint. So let us know what questions you have. We're happy to do it, man. We're pumped to be back on the air. And big congrats to B-Row again on the engagement, but he's back working a steady schedule now. And we're ready to be rocking and rolling. So I'll look forward to the next episode.
Yeah. Coach, thanks for coming on. Logan, thanks again as always. Appreciate it. B-Haw.
Boom.
Thanks for tuning in to the B-Haw Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, bhaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.